Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Now, 1,800 projects in total, final count, have received government grants in the latest round of the Sports Capital Programme funding. Sports Capital Programme has been running for the guts of about 20 years or so. So in total, this time around, 60 million euro has been spread across 1,800 successful projects. Now, this cropped up in the news in the last few days because we've had the final results of the appeals process. So if we just look at schools for a moment, because this applies to schools and clubs and various sporting organisations around the country. At the weekend, the Sunday Business Post political editor Michael Brennan revealed that there were 30 appeals from public schools around the country turned down. First glance, you say, fair enough, it's difficult to keep everyone happy. However, quite striking, in the Minister for Sport, Shane Ross's own constituency, Wesley College, private school, received the maximum allowance, €150,000, to resurface their hockey pitch. Loretto Beaufort, another private school in Rathfarnham, received the maximum amount, €150,000, to resurface an all-weather pitch. Both of those applications initially rejected and then have been successful in the appeals process. Take Wesley College, for instance. Fees there started about €6,000 a year. Their facilities, as things stand before this grant, 4 rugby pitches, floodlit rugby grid, soccer pitch, 2 full-size hockey pitches, 2 mini hockey pitches, 2 full-size hockey grit pitches, 16 tennis courts, 2 cricket pitches, 2 outdoor basketball courts, a gymnasium, a sports hall, and an athletics track and field facility. On the Sports Capital Programme website, one of the key aims is to prioritise the needs of disadvantaged areas in the provision of sports facilities. So, to discuss just where we are with the Sports Capital Programme and where it needs to go and what is going right or what is going wrong, we have John Green, Sunday Independent Sports Editor, who's written about this subject for a number of years now, and Paul Rouse, Professor of History at UCD and also author of Sport in Ireland, A History on the Line. Paul, I'll start with you. So I've laid out some bare facts there. What was your initial reaction when you saw the news over the weekend?
Well, I read the tweet from the Minister, and if we're recalling what that tweet is, delighted to confirm that Wesley College has been granted €150,000 as part of the Sports Capital Programme. The funding will ensure the resurfacing of the hockey pitch and will benefit the school as well as YMCA Hockey Club, because of course for a school to apply it must be in tandem with some sort of a club also using its facility. Now, when you read out, as you read out the facilities already in that school, it puts in stark light a decision such as this to award the maximum funding available to a place already full of facilities. And it's yet another controversy in 20 years of controversies around this programme. A programme which from the beginning has been bedeviled with accusations of political bias. You look, for example, at when Jim McDaid from Donegal was Minister for Sport in the government, and how Donegal, the highest per capita in terms of funding within the state, Letterkenny UDC, $2.5 million. St. Eunan's GAA Club, Letterkenny, $1.13 million. And then John O'Donoghue takes over for 5 years as Minister for Sport. And funnily enough, Kerry leaps to the top of the charts. And his local GAA club, St. Mary's Carrick-Sabine, gets €650,000. The story is one of time after time after time. Counties in which, or constituencies in which the minister is based, do exceptionally well. Of course, this may just be purely accidental, if you want to believe in the tooth fairy, but it is quite remarkable.
Taoiseach Simon, or Taoiseach the rather, Simon Coveney was speaking about this in the Dáil. He said Minister Ross had no role in the appeals process other than to approve the monetary allocation proposed by officials. John, the Sports Capital Programme over the last 20 years.
Well, it's interesting that they say it's an independent process, because I think we all remember when John O'Donoghue was beaten in, lost his seat in Kerry, and on the night that he was beaten, and he said the following to the crowd as he gave his speech: I hope that the irony will not be lost upon you that I stand here on the evening of defeat in a hall, this magnificent sports complex, which I helped to build. So, I mean, he's not giving the officials any credit for that. I think what Paul is pointing out, that down through the years we've seen ministers and Taoiseach, somehow their constituency seems to do better than others. Broadly, I think that the Sports Capital Programme has been a good thing, in that a lot of clubs have benefited from it, including my own, as it happens, but and I'm sure Paul's as well. But we've got to the point now where, you know, there's big question marks over it. It has improved, there's no doubt about that. It is a bit fairer. Mm. But when you see the level of money that was handed out in this particular instance, but they weren't the only ones. There was several other, there was 35 in total winning appeals, not just Wesley. Loretto, you mentioned, Three Rock Rovers, Malahide Golf Club, Sutton Lawn Tennis Club. Mm. You know, there was a good spread across Dublin of clubs doing really well on appeal. I think now we have to look at the Sports Capital Programme and ask, what is it? What is its purpose? What is it there for? And we're at that point where
we'll get the same answer if we look at it as what it's supposed to be there for now, which is to fund sporting projects around the country.
Around the country, well, yeah, but is it doing that anymore? I don't know that it is, because all the evidence is that it's stacked in favour of those who are best able to look after themselves. So, you know, is a GA club or a hockey club or a rugby club in South County Dublin better equipped to deal with the rigorous procedures that are in place to apply for a grant? And I know what it's like because I've done it myself.
And so it's a pain, is it?
It's really tough.
Yeah, because for a long time, you wrote a piece on this, and you have been writing about this for a long time, but you wrote a piece around Christmas time where you did say, in fairness to the Sports Capital Programme, the process, the paperwork involved at a basic level, it has been refined. For a long time, a number of applications just didn't make it past the post because they were filled out incorrectly. You know, yeah, that level.
I did that. Well, the first time I did it,
right.
I did that.
So they've improved in that regard.
Yeah, so it's all online now.
Okay.
But there is still a huge amount of gathering involved, and you need a team to help you to do it, and you need a team of experts. You need people who have got a bit of financial experience, a bit of engineering experience. If you're doing a building project, you need that kind of experience. So the clubs that are already in areas with that kind of professional expertise at their doorstep are better served than those that aren't. So it's easier for those than those in the more economically deprived areas to keep going and to keep moving ahead. And strangely, one of the key criteria that's required here is that you need to be able to come up with a significant level of your own funding in the first place.
Yeah, to go with whatever the government gives you.
To go with whatever the government gives you.
So they seem like two big enough issues. And interestingly, Wesley College succeeded in this appeal. They had the help of a Fine Gael senator who's a past pupil. They thanked as well the Minister for Arts, Joseph Madigan, for her great assistance. So even just the appeals process. And again, like you look, the 30 public schools rejected in this round of appeals. Some of the things just jump out. Okay, so we're talking here, Wesley College, about the resurfacing of one hockey pitch. Dublin Tala Community School Sports Complex, they wanted a five-a-side all-weather pitch for 107,000 to build one in the first place. Cork Lanwert National School wanted tennis courts and multi-use games area for primary or second level, multi-sport as well, just to build one in the first place. Carlow St. Joseph's School wanted an AstroTurf pitch, including a sprint area, €72,000, primary or second level. And even, you know, I don't know the specifics of these requests, but Meath Duleek School's Boys and Girls Football Club, equipment purchase, €6,000, rejected. You wonder,
I'm guessing,
how can that be right?
I'm guessing that it was, all those cases were technicalities. I'd be pretty sure that they filled out something incorrect on the form. Mm. And as simple as that, and it's as black and white as that.
Yeah, and so a point you made in the Sunday Independent a while back, when the initial round of funding came out, John, you wrote about it, and around that time, Paul, it was noticeable that a total of 33 OGA clubs in Dublin were successful. 23 of them got a six-figure sum. 11 of them got the maximum €150,000. outside of Dublin, just 16 GAA clubs received the maximum. And John made the point in his piece, and he's talked about the difficulties with the application process, that the GAA can, especially in affluent areas, call on the expertise from within its ranks, people in the community who really know what they're doing. Like, this whole system really does seem like it's destined to favour those with professionals in the ranks that they can call upon, and disadvantaged areas who maybe not don't engage with the state and these kind of things and not in the practice of doing it are going to lose out quite badly. That seems to be what's happening here.
Oh, it absolutely is what is happening. And if you want to see the great example of this, go to the south inner city of Dublin. In the south inner city of Dublin, in a population with an area of 50,000 people, there is no playing field. That is, there is actually no playing field at all. There are 10 primary schools in the south inner city with around 2,500 students in those schools. There is not one blade of grass in any of those schools. They have no playing facilities. There's a club, a hurling club, brilliant hurling club called Kevin's Hurling Club, based in the south inner city of Dublin. They have no field. They are currently using a field outside, slightly on the edge of their area, and they do not have a field of their own. And that's why I think there's a groundswell of anger here around the allocation. In a way, I feel a little bit of sympathy for any particular club or school who is picked out for criticism for what they have just received.
Yeah.
Because they are actually part of a system which is absolutely set up to discriminate against people from poorer areas and people who do not have access to power and people who do not have access to the people who pull the levers of power to enable them even to fill out the forms in the way that they precisely should be filled out. And that, I think that really, really matters in terms of how we run public policy. That's the first point to make.
And sorry, I'll let you in with your second one. Just to confirm that stat again, South Inner City Dublin, 50,000 people,
yes.
not one playing
not
pitch
one
in any code
pitch.
Or just GAA.
No GAA pitch, no rugby pitch, no full-size soccer pitch, nothing.
And if I'm right in thinking, they have literally begged the local authority to help them, haven't they?
They have, and there was an area where they were finally...
That was taken away.
To get a full pitch, and that has now been delayed for at least another 5 years, and more than likely much longer than that, and are also in a very dubious position with other grounds that they have access to at the moment. And Kevin's Hurling Club have essentially, in my view, been abandoned by the state, abandoned by the GAA, abandoned by Dublin GAA. And by the way, I say exactly the same thing for the rugby club that is based in the area and for all of the soccer clubs who do not have adequate facilities to play out of in the south inner city. And this is the area with the second highest rate of incarceration in the state. It is an area where there is generational deprivation. And people will turn around and say, will dismiss the kids in the area and they'll say, this is just typical, and they can see no cause and effect between investment in such facilities, which are not a catch-all, not going to solve everything, but surely must help.
Your second point, then.
My second point in all of this is that there is. It's very difficult to look at the Sports Capital Programme as anything other than a vast transfer of wealth from the state to private organisations. Now, we can argue about how brilliantly these organisations provide for wider communities, and we can argue that facilities are used by a lot of people, and that is fine. But what there is no evidence of is increased participation from wider communities in sport because of this allocation of money. And I think that really matters, because the last surveys, the Sports Monitor surveys, the CSO have produced a wellness thing, the brilliant work done by people like Peter Smith in the Sports Council, which show time after time in recent years the decline in the number of people who are actively involved in sport, number one, and at the same time the increase in obesity in the state. So these two things are interlinked, and there has to be a value for money aspect to all of this.
I don't think there's any evidence, sure there isn't, to say that the building of facilities is linked to increased participation.
No, and actually there is absolutely no evidence of it, and I think it should be borne in mind. And what is absolutely always has been proven to be the case is that increased participation is almost entirely linked to socioeconomic profiling. So the more money you have, the more disposable income you have, the more likely you are to play sport.
See, where the sports capital programme has got lost, probably, is in its obsession with state-of-the-art facilities versus, a countrywide assessment of what's needed in each community, just in terms of sporting spaces. And the idea, we're obsessed with crowds in this country, and sport isn't necessarily have to be related to crowds, as in the people that are watching it. A sporting space is for use. It's primary function. So across the country, from every village up, we're obsessed with this pro rata thing and having facilities for people to be able to go and watch sport or to, you know, rather than the basics of just, as he pointed out with the inner city thing, just green fields. The evidence across Europe is that when you provide space for sport as opposed to state-of-the-art facilities, that has an impact on participation. Not building white elephants. You know, we become obsessed with the bars and the function rooms and the nightclubs and the restaurants and all part of the sporting thing. Whereas if we get back down to brass tacks and tackle it from just a sporting space and get the concept of a space where people can just go to enjoy playing some kind of sport.
What would you like to see happen with the Sports Capital Programme now, John?
I'd like to see it suspended for the moment. I'd like to see it a complete review of what do we want from it? And some of the things Paul says, you know, are perfectly fair. What are we trying to achieve, first of all? And then take a look around the country. And if that takes 2 years, it takes 2 years. Let the money that we would have spent accumulate. And then when the time comes, spend it where we need to spend it. And we don't need to spend it, and I'm reluctant to pick on this, like, as Paul says, and we don't need to be spending it on a private school in South County Dublin that already has a multitude of facilities. That's not where we need to be spending it. And, you know, we need to move away from the idea that Dublin gets everything, because, as we've just heard, Dublin doesn't get everything. We need to look and see in Dublin what is needed and where is it needed, just the same as we do in every other county. And, as you know, my own background is in GAA, but like the GAA, the IRFU and the FEI, those organisations have done brilliantly out of the Sports Capital Programme. So maybe we need to look at, you know, what do we need to do for other sports, for cricket, for tennis, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I'd like to see, and a proper comprehensive report. God, report sounds terrible, but you know what I mean. A proper understanding of where we were.
In blunt, basic terms, some kind of stock take of the country.
See where our kids can. What do our kids need, and how do we put it in place? Like, what about schools? Ordinary, everyday schools that our kids are going to. How many of them have proper PE facilities?
Yeah, I saw a Sinn Féin councillor actually responding to the Shane Ross tweet. It was Paul Donnelly, and he was pointing out two schools in Darndale. He was saying no sports hall and have to use a community hall instead. He said the children in the school beside his office play football on the grounds of the school on tarmac. I presume the country is dotted with examples, Paul, that have fallen through the cracks here, and this thing is cyclical. I mean, Wesley College, and again, not to pick on them, but to use this example, they've had a very positive experience here. They are far more inclined to do it again. Actually, we need some kind of stock take, draw breath here, say who needs what, regardless of how good they are at putting together the application form.
Joe, we have no national sports policy. Still, year after year has passed, it's been promised for a very long time, and still no national sports policy has been delivered. You cannot have... What is the point in spending money on facilities when you don't know what you're trying to do with them?
Okay.
Why should you have to be clear? Like, what exactly are we trying to achieve here? Are we trying to enhance existing facilities for those who already have it, or are we trying to provide facilities for those who don't have any? Now, those two things need not be mutually exclusive, but in a limited budget, you have to prioritise. And in my view, if you've got a limited budget and you want to prioritise, then you go to those areas where people do not have facilities and you provide those facilities as best you can within a policy. And that policy has to be rooted around health and exercise and well-being. And I completely agree with John's point about providing spaces for sport rather than clubhouses and everything to do with that. But again, our minister, I think we've been very poorly served in this government by sports policy. I don't think the last junior minister, Patrick O'Donovan, did anything. I don't think the current junior minister is doing anything. And I think Shane Ross has been hapless as minister for sport. And I think you have to have a rounded, coherent approach to what you were trying to do. But you know what? Do you know why that tweet just summed up a political approach to sport where you want to be seen with your, you know, in a photograph with Johnny Sexton and whichever the carnies you think might be present at the time, or you want to be tweeting about what you've awarded to something. But there's no thought gone into what a minister for sport actually should be trying to do here.
Yeah, and do you know the terrible thing as well is this is actually fantastic publicity for Shane Ross. He'll be elected in that bloody constituency for the rest of his life. It's absolutely brilliant there because we all vote that way. We all vote parish pump politics. And so everybody in that constituency says, look, this is great. We'll be looked after here.
But this is the other point. When Jim McDade was Minister for Sport in Donegal, the number of applications just go through the roof. When people expect of their own ministers to do this. So there's a wider public responsibility for this. And the ones who really get caught here, and it's a very difficult position for them to be in, are the officials within departments who I have no doubt are pushed upon. And Simon Coveney can come out and defend the process and do all of that if he wants to. Well, if that's the case, why is there a review? Why is there a need for the review? If it's that robust, if you're that sure of it and you're defending it, why are you reviewing it?
I think it was very unfortunate that the officials got dumped on that particular point.
That point about us not having a national sports policy, John, is very interesting when you consider we've about the population of Manchester. It should be fairly doable to sort us out with fairly adequate sports facilities around the country.
Yeah, it's been in the pipeline for a long time and there is work done on it.
Who's responsible for it? Who drafts that? Who comes up with that?
I'm right in thinking, Paul, there was a public consultation process about a year and a half ago.
Yes.
There had been a couple in the department for
a while, and there are drafts doing the rounds.
There was a senior department official working on it, and I like all these things, a bit like the gambling bill, where's that? You know, these things just seem to be gathering dust somewhere, but the sports policy is so important. And how can we know what we want? You know, there's a lot of stuff now about girls playing sport or girls getting involved in sport at a young age, and I've got this thing that, and I've talked to a few people, and I know Athletics Ireland are looking about it, about, you know, in a primary school where, you know, every kid every day runs a mile. Right, it's something that they do in the UK and Scotland a little bit, you know, and it's just you walk it or you run it. It's just at some point during the day, you know, if you went around the schools in Ireland, how many schools would you be able to do that in, for a starter, that have a hall big enough for a wet day or a field to be able to do that? To just go out and even walk a mile for everybody in that school at some point in the day, could we deliver on that? No, we couldn't.
New schools are still being built in this state with inadequate sporting facilities. Yeah. New schools on greenfield sites are being built without sports halls, without playing facilities outside. Like the next logical follow-on that is that kids are condemned for spending time inside and not playing outside and not actually being out in the air.
Now, when you drill into the Sports Capital Programme, there are success stories, and it has done a lot of good, and I will say that, and I've seen it myself.
Oh, I agree with that.
It has done, and it has put things in places that never would have been able to stand on their own two feet. But when there is a lack of direction, everything drifts. The sports capital programme is drifting.
It seems, based on what you're both saying, and you've gone through the process, John, it is working on an ad hoc basis. It depends on what applications tend to arrive. Paul used the word discrimination there against disadvantaged areas. So it is not, in short, working towards a grand plan. There is no five-year plan here.
No, but in my own case, I was very confident because it's a small GA club in a small village, and we had a field and two dingy dressing rooms, and we wanted to build two dressing rooms and a small meeting room. Not exactly, you know.
There's no swimming pool as part of that.
No, but there are no sporting facilities in the village. So, I was able to the second time around, and I understood the application process, and it was much more refined the second time around. I was able to work my way through it. but it was extremely difficult, and it needed a team of people working on it for a while to get sure, to make sure that we did everything right.
Yeah. Okay. So you want the capital programme suspended for the time being, a proper stock take. Any final thoughts, Paul?
A policy. Yeah. Actually, a plan. A plan would be nice.
Yeah. Okay. We'll come back to this, no doubt. John Green, Sunday Independent sports editor, and Paul Rouse, Professor of History at UCD. My thanks to you. Back shortly.
Off the Ball
on Newstalk. In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.